the Prince, a.k.a. Rio. And my guy, Ty, what it do?
Yo, 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 you already know it's your boy, the real deal, Ty. We in the building, Wave Nation. Let's get it.
Woo! Yay! In Anomaly, what it do, baby?
Hey, everybody, how y'all doing?
Excellent, excellent. And we got a special guest in the house, Mr. Mark Stevens.
Yes, hello, everyone.
Awesome, awesome. Finally, we got Mr. Mark Stevens on the Wave Nation. How you feeling, man?
Man, feeling great. I've been waiting for this for a long time. You guys are one of my number one shows I listen to, man. I love you guys.
You hear that?
For real.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, there's so much that we can talk about. But just like we do with all our guests, for those who don't know who Mr. Mark Stevens is, can you give us a little background? What are you, the CEO of Dark Side Entertainment?
Yeah, the CEO and president, like I guess I'm going to say president and founder, one of the main founders with my wife, Amanda Thanks, Stevens.
Bro. Awesome, awesome. How did you start Dark Side? Like, where did it come from?
Well, I started it when we were in college. I was in Los Angeles in 2002. And this is when I met Nicholas Kosas and Jules Engel, one of the pioneer animators that were behind Betty Boop, Woody Woodpecker, working at Max Fleischer with the original Popeye crew back in the 1930s. And he took me on as a mentor, like he took me up as an apprentice. And they both like taught me the traditional skills of animation and filmmaking. So as a school project, we were supposed to take a group of us and make a actual studio and try to sell it to the school to say, oh, let's see what will happen if you guys actually make it happen. We thought it was just a class project. And I took it a little bit further than that. And the name basically came from, if you ever played Street Fighter and you played Akuma, and he does the Raging Demon.
Right.
I never understood. yeah. Me suits. And he like hits you like 1,000 times. I never understood what that symbol meant until my one roommate, who was Japanese, he's like, you know that means demon, right? And I was like, demon? Like the devil? He's like, yeah. And I was like, Dark One. And I was like, that's what we're going to call the little group that we're going to call it Dark Side Entertainment. And he was like, that would be hot. So that's where we came up with Dark Side Entertainment.
That's fire. So you have a bit of a background in animation.
Yeah, I have my degree is in animation, but I've worked in games and both animation and film.
Gotcha. I did some research on you, of course, but a little known fact, you was there in the beginning with the when Netflix was selling DVDs.
Yes, very much. Very much so.
Awesome.
I was up in San Jose area when I was working with EA at the time, and they were in a little bitty house. I mean, I can't say it was little bitty, it was a two-story house, and that's what they worked out of. And whenever they would send out DVDs, they had warehouses, and they'd go to the warehouse and send out the DVDs to you, but their main office was in like a house.
Damn. Wow.
Now that's where Netflix came from. And then Netflix started to make so much money and outdo Blockbuster. Blockbuster couldn't keep up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Blockbuster went under. And Netflix became the thing, and then they started to run out of money, and they were literally going to sell Netflix to my man who came up with Redbox, and Redbox wouldn't buy them. And so my man went, he literally, because he was in like the heart of, you know, Silicon Valley, he went over and started learning how to use WordPress. And the very first like Netflix online streaming application was built with a WordPress app. It was called VideoPro.
Wow. That's dope, man. It's not always about how you start off, it's how you finish.
Right. So I the whole situation with Netflix, man, I laugh about it because I'm just like, dang, I was right there running around them cats, yo. So I remember when they didn't have, literally, they didn't have two dimes to rub together, for real. Just like when I was there, when I was literally the first artist, if you know about a game called League of Legends. Yeah. I was the very first artist at Riot Games. My office, where I, my little cubicle office, I was literally diagonal from Mark Morrell and Brandon Bick. And I was there before they even called it, you know, League of Legends. I saw what they were doing and how they put it together. And I was like, you guys are looking at World of Warcraft and basically Warcraft 3 to try to build this game. Like, how is this going to be any different than, you know, what Dota is? And they were like, that's what it is. It's going to be Dota. And I was like, but it's going to be so much different. I'm like, we'll have to see how this comes. And they brought all of us in. They brought me in. And then they brought in the guy who created Sly Cooper, Hokio Lim. He was the art director, one of the main heads and behind Sly Cooper. They brought him in and the whole team. It's just ridiculous how they brought us all in. And they didn't really have a full game plan yet. And then one day I went away on a weekend, came back. The whole art team had basically got scrapped.
Damn.
And I mean, like, 12 people fired in a weekend. I was like, get the freak out. What the hell just happened? And it was just like they were redoing everything, and they redid it, and then they didn't get rid of Hokio Lim because he had some major lawyers behind him. I'll tell you that, brother. That young man, he didn't play with him. But he was there for a good little time before, and they didn't even have a name. They were calling it Heroes. And I was like, this should be like something with legends. You had damn mentors and satyrs and all these damn like mythology like kind of creatures running around. So like, why would you call it like Heroes? Like, it should be something about legends or something. Then that's where, you know, League of Legends became the final name. And then I left, and that's when I went over to EA, and that's when I was up there working on Ultima Online. Ran into the Netflix crew, and so on and so on. That's been my life. I've been there. And if you ever saw a show back in the day, I was an intern up there. A little show called Invader Zim.
Yes, I like that show.
I was an intern on it. Got to work there on that. And my friend Edward Frayna, he worked right along with Yonan after they kind of ended Invader Zim, and all the crew over there, Mary Harrington, Eric Coleman, all them cats over at Nickelodeon. They were some amazing people.
Yeah, they recently, I want to say, what, it was the last year that they came out with Invader Zim movie?
On Netflix.
Very good.
Very good stuff.
I had a question for you. I love to ask questions that I want to ask to people that most people can't ask. You see what I'm saying? I'm a big video game head. I play video games. You know what I'm saying? But I did have a question. You ever played like games like Dead or Alive and Soul Calibur and things of that nature, correct?
Soul Calibur was one of my favorite games. God, I love that game.
Okay.
Because they got the animation. I mean, like,
yeah.
You want to see some of the best animation, they got it right. And it was... a lot of it was done motion captured, but the parts that wasn't done motion captured, or what they call performance capture, was done by hand. What? And it was done really well.
And that brings me to my next question. Motion capture? All right, so with Soul Calibur, hey, Real Deal Anomaly, have y'all played Soul Calibur?
No.
No.
Gotcha. Check this out. So this is me and Mark conversation. So... with Soul Calibur, when you pick like a female character, whose idea was it to make the titties look like they do?
Well, that itself was Namco and all them and at Sony and stuff, and basically that was back in the day before Sony started censoring. Sony started censoring a lot of shit, and now you won't see those types. I mean, you might, but very seldom. I don't think you'll see that on Sony. Because if you remember Final Fantasy,
yeah.
Anybody remember Final Fantasy VII with Aerys and Tifa and Barret? And my my brother with the gun that was the Gatling gun on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yo, they re-released Final Fantasy VII, and they basically kind of did reduction surgery on Tifa. They brought her down.
Yeah,
because
I don't know nowadays, because I don't know if you play Soul Calibur nowadays, but it's like I can't even play that game around my kids.
Yeah, I mean some games just don't. I mean some games they're just like going around Sony, and some of them you're just like, whoa, I can't play this in front of my kids. Like
why you keep picking that character, Daddy?
yeah, exactly. What was it back in the day? Killer Instinct with yes, Black Orchid, yeah. When she would beat you and then she was unzipping
Ultra,
her shirt.
Ultra. Yeah. I remember that.
Your eyes will pop out your head and all kinds of stuff. But no, some games nowadays just go a little bit too far. I mean, not all of them, but a good portion of them get a little bit out there. I mean, there was one I'm just like, I have to be like, Brayden, I don't know about you playing that one, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, especially the Last of Us 2.
Oh, shit. That's my favorite game, The Last of Us 2
was like, The Last of Us 2 was a great game story-wise, but it was just, I couldn't let my son play that game because it had a full-on sex scene in that game, dude.
Yeah, all right, check this out. So was that sex scene, was it kind of weird, though? You talking about with Abby, right?
Yeah.
But Abby looked like the dude that she was having sex with.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, wait. Will you make what? Say that again.
All right. In the game, The Last of Us 2, there's a protagonist character who is really, she's really built. Like, she built like a boy. You see what I'm saying? So,
okay.
I mean, I have my thoughts of probably why they did that. You know what I'm saying? The game is really LGBTQ or what? The alphabet. It's really full of that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, Abby is built like a man. You know what I'm saying? Because she's real strong. She, like, just real strong. But, you know what I'm saying? But she got a girl face, but a man body. So, and she likes this guy as well that, you know, through the apocalyptic world and things of nature, she likes this boy. So they finally get up and they have sex. But the sex scene is not like your normal sex scene. I mean, it is, but it ain't because of what it visually looks like. It looks like two dudes boning because she don't even really got no titties. You know what I'm saying? So she's so strong, her titties look like pecs. She just got a girl face. So he like, it's a video game. He like bends over and really get in that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like an X-rated game.
I was like, oh shit. Like I wanna like it, but then again I was like, man, I feel tricked.
that's like the situation, like, you know, the transgender thing. I don't have like I never had issues with anybody transgender. I truthfully never really known anybody transgender. But a lot of people have asked me that question. I'm like, I don't care. They should have love like any other human being. And they'd be like, well, would you date anybody that's transgender? I'm like, well, probably not because I'm married. But if I wasn't married and I would have caught them and they were actually like the what's called I Am Jazz, and I would have never seen I Am Jazz, the show, and I would have thought that was a female. And I would have been like talking to her like, and then come to find out, you know, it was like, and then that would have kind of caught me off guard, but I would have never been like outward nasty to her. I just would have been like, you know, I just don't get down like that. But I mean, we can still be friends and I can, you know, I'll have love for you as a human being because, you know, you're a good human being.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, yeah.
You'll find that I'm a person that's just very open to like everything. I'm cool with everybody.
We shouldn't have. I mean, that's obvious. You know what I'm saying? We cool as hell, but we shouldn't have to, you know, like have to explain so much. Like, okay, I'm not against it. I don't.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Why can't I just not like it? You know what I'm saying? I'm the only
dick
in this
relationship.
Right,
that's identity politics, and that's the cancel culture that's going on.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Just like with Genuine, he didn't... Mm-hmm. All right. the woman tried to force herself on Ginuwine, and Ginuwine declined. And they tried to hit Ginuwine with the cancel culture, like, oh, he's homophobic. No, he
right.
just...
And that was bullshit.
Yeah, it was bullshit. He didn't want your advances. You try to, you know what I'm saying? You try to kiss him without his permission.
Right.
You rapey right. at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should
that's,
go to jail.
That's an assault charge.
That's
right
an assault
there.
Charge. You can't put, like, here, he don't like... transgenders because he wouldn't accept my forceful kiss on him when he didn't want it. Like, come on. Come on.
No straight woman would want that.
No, come on, man.
come on, man. Like, anomaly, tell me, like, for real, like, if a man came up to you and you know it's a man and he just forced himself, you would be like wanting to slap that dude in the face.
Wanting to?
Yeah.
Have you really listened like, to the show before?
Yeah.
Hey,
wanting to is not an issue. Wouldn't be a wanting to. I'm not going to hold myself back for something I don't want because
right.
it will make somebody else uncomfortable.
Right.
All right. So
exactly.
You said you lived in LA too.
Yeah.
What was that like?
LA was a new experience altogether. When I first went out there, I left Atlanta, and so living in Atlanta. It, you know, it's the big ATL, Dirty Dirty South, T.I.
Awesome.
King, you know, freaking back that in those days it was Ludacris, and Ludacris was all over the radio. That was before, like, you know, his Red Light District album, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a different time. And so when I went out to Los Angeles, everything shined, where, like, certain things on the East Coast, leaving the East Coast, everything is great. Like, it's dirty. Like, you go out west and you're just like, everything is shiny as hell. It's
yeah.
It's a brand new, like just world. So I really went out there and just said, you know what? To become part of this culture, I have to be open to everything and new experiences and just walk around and just not judge anybody. Because unfortunately, in the South, you have this situation where you come from a very judgmental family or something like that, or a situation where you're in the Bible Belt, you shouldn't do that, blah 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 blah. You know, they'll throw the Bible beaters at you, and I have no problems with that. But we'll have a conversation about that in a minute. But I mean, you know. I truly believe, like, you know, when you go to a situation, you can't go in and try to force your agendas on somebody else that doesn't come like that.
Right. Another question. Do you believe that there's a, it's totally random, but do you believe that there's an underground world in LA? Have you seen any remnants of that when you lived there?
Like what? An underground world of what?
Real deal.
Like the people, monsters and stuff like that.
Like monsters?
It's supposed to be like some underground mold type people. That's probably like a better term without, you know, making them feel disrespected if they are really there. But it's supposed to be like a whole town or whatever that's under Los Angeles.
No. I mean, let's put it like this. Where that, if you're talking about the situation where like that hotel where that girl ended up in the water tower and They that crazy spooky shit, like she was talking to somebody but you never saw nobody and then she just disappeared and shit.
No.
I drove by that hotel all the time and I never saw or heard anything. I knew where Skid Row was, and half the time when I would drive down Skid Row, I didn't even know I was on Skid Row because it was like they were just like not being seen. And when you did see them, you were like, oh shit, where the hell am I, you know? As far as the underground, like a deep rooted underground scene, no, yeah. I never saw that. I never saw anybody say, oh, I'm a vampire. I know that there was Wiccans and, like, you know, people that believed in, yeah, like masquerade type stuff, like, you know, like how in Atlanta they have a club called the Masquerade and people go up and dressed up at like with like emo type stuff and makeup and everything. But they were never nasty or outright dirty or mean to you. They were just human beings. And if you treat them like a human being, they're going to treat you like a human being, like anything in life.
Okay. But was you ever outside, like, let's say, like, between, like, well, of course, like, two, but, like, 3 and 6 in the morning, like, just roaming, like, you know, the back alleys and stuff like that?
No. I always, no, I'll put it to you like this. I was always told, and I tried to listen to my mentors out there, anything that goes on after 10 o'clock at night ain't nothing good. And if you're in business in Hollywood, anything after 6 o'clock, anything is not good. It ain't business. It becomes, starts to become and bridge the gap of personal. So you need to watch yourself.
Okay. What you think about that, Anomaly?
I'm kind of interested in the whole masquerade thing, honestly speaking. That sounds like fun.
Could you elaborate more on that, Mark?
Yeah. Well, the masquerade thing, and when I say masquerade, have you ever seen Kindred, The Embrace? Has any
no,
of you ever
seen Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, okay, Eyes Wide Shut. Okay, the flower child thing. That's a thing. That is not a bullshit thing. That is a real thing. The flower child, like going to parties, people are like getting it on, like openly, women touching women, men touching men, men touching women. Like, yeah, that's a real thing.
After 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I would say shit. I would say at 6:30, if they leave the office and say, yeah, we're going to a party, you want to come? And then you end up at a party where the first thing they do start stripping. Yeah, it happens, and it happens in hotels, and you just like whoa, slow your roll. What's going on here?
You mean it's like as soon as you walk in the door, they're just taking their clothes off, like straight to it?
No, like it's like certain rooms. Like, okay, like Eyes Wide Shut. Okay, there's certain rooms they talk and they get to know each other. Like it's open relationship type shit. Is advised. Take that and go maybe to the 10th degree. Like they get to know each other, or they already know each other. And they wanting to hook up, but they're just like kind of scared to even say or mention each other. You know, it goes on. But I'm not going to say that that's an evil ass culture. I'm just saying that's their culture and that's what they want to do. I'm not going to hate on them.
Right. I don't want to go to a party and be like, hey, Jay, who's here? How you doing, guys? Whoa. Get off of my jeans.
No. Let's put it like this. They're not gonna touch you unless you want to be touched. But the ones that they touch them like that, they already know.
They already know.
Ahead of time. It's like that's how it is. That's how it gets down. But like if you're new to the circle, they're like they want to feel you out, see how you get down. You walk around, shake hands, you hug people, be like, oh, welcome. You know, and it's a very welcoming kind of like society type situation. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, we cool with everybody.
It seemed like they ask you trick questions like, how do you think about her? She looks like Rihanna, right? Oh, yeah, she's very beautiful. And what about him? He's like Brad Pitt, right? He's like handsome, right? Oh, yeah, I mean, men could be handsome. Men could be handsome.
Like, there was a conversation. I literally went to a party like that. And I was like, no lie, straight up shit. Like, I went and I was there because this guy worked at the bar where my friend worked. He invited us. So we literally went. We didn't know what we were to expect. So we all go in there and we're like, what? And this woman literally brought us over on this like silver tray, 2 champagne glasses. Titties out and hanging. It was like, okay. I was like, hey, how are you? She's like, how are you doing this evening? I was like, I'm doing very well right now. How are you?
How are those?
She was like, how are those nice titties?
Yeah, I was like, how are you this evening? She's like, I'm doing well. Let me know if you need anything. I was like, sure will. I sure will. And I just kept going. And then I saw somebody, and the other guy that was, I guess they knew from the bar, was there, and they started talking business. And they were seriously, like, they were literally like, it was like a bar. Like, they were sitting at a bar talking about business, and they were talking about, like, what was going on. It was really crazy. I mean, it was kind of uncomfortable, but at first, but then you're just like, these people just like, they're chill. And if they want to do something, they go do it. It's like, damn, what the hell? This is like Shangri-La and shit.
Right, right. I mean, I could be around that.
You
like,
enjoyed it.
I could be around a bunch of
titties. Oh, hell yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I could eat a sandwich with a bunch of titties around. Like, it's okay.
That just sounds like, I mean, like a strip club upgraded.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because there are plenty of businessmen that go to strip clubs to have business. And then afterwards, depending on the stripper, what happens? So it's not, that's not like far out in thinking. Well, especially not for me. That's not far out in thinking. So sounds like a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. It's like I said, you have to be. It's not like you just go. It's like, oh my god, I'm just gonna go to this club. It's literally like they accept you into the culture. Like you have to be invited in.
Oh, okay.
Like the masquerade type thing, you can go to a club that it's like masquerade, and they be dressed up like vampires, and you know, you might see Bill Compton from the True Blood dressed up. Somebody dressed. You might see daggone Bram Stoker's Dracula dude have a top hat on and a night suit. I ain't lying. You'll see, they have clubs out there like that. They out there, but they're not like, when I say crazy out there, there's just like, that's just their scene. That's how they want to get down.
And this is year round. This is not just like during Halloween time. Like this.
No, this is year round, man.
Y'all want to go?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not dressed up, but I'm just go.
You say you don't want to go, real deal?
No, I said I'll go. I just won't dress up, but I'm down to check it out for sure.
If I'm going to go to that, you got to dress up.
Huh?
I know. We said it. Did we say the exact same thing? Jinx!
Yo, my God, Jinx.
I'm dressing up. I am definitely dressing up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, go when you, let's say, let's put this. You go out there, like I say, go out there with no inhibitions. Go out there with an open mind and accept what you see. You don't have to accept and do as they do, but accept what you see and just be like, wow, I experienced that in my lifetime.
Okay, in your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me anyway, so, hey.
There you go. Normally be happy. She'd be like, wow, I can write a book about all the craziness I've seen. That's just going to be crazy. That's going to be wild as hell.
See, the thing about going into a place like that with Anomaly, you're going to have to keep your eye on her, because you could be walking in like, Anomaly, this place is cool. Ain't that right, Anomaly? Anomaly?
It's gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man, new friends and everything.
Right. Oh, yeah. New friends in the cemetery.
No way. Cause see, I gotta fill out the place, and I can't wait for you to get comfortable for me to fill it out. So if I get missing, it's just cause I'm going around to see what's going on, what's here, what's happening there. I gotta get the place filled out before I get comfortable. I need to know where my exits are and things like that as well. Mm-hmm. But if I'm coming, that's why I don't go places with people. I might meet somebody at a location, but I don't go with them, because I can't wait for them to get to their point when I'm already, if I'm already there, or vice versa.
Got you.
So pretty much that means when we get there, you're going your own.
Real deal, you got any other questions for me?
Well,
I mean,
you hanging back there quiet, brother. I love you. I love your conversation that you had when you were talking about, they were talking about the Black Dahlia that was trying to get at my man, like Mario, and saying, yo, like they had him trapped in the bathroom. That man was like, whoa, wait a minute. There's some demons for real.
Oh my God. My trauma is your entertainment.
Yo.
Thank you, sir. I still have nightmares to this day.
Well, don't worry. I have my own with certain things. I tell you what, you ain't seen. You're not the only one that's seen crazy shit. So
what happened to you?
I've seen flying objects, and they're not necessarily the craziest thing in the world to say, but they are real.
Talk to us.
They're very, very real. they will follow you. That is a given thing. If you stay and stare and look, they will follow you. They will hover over you. Mm-hmm. And you can get radiation poisoning. That is a true fact. That is no bullshit.
Mm. What happened to you?
This is in LA?
No, this is in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is like right here in Wayne County, North Carolina, for real. This ain't no conspiracy shit either. This is real stuff.
What happened?
A flying object following you?
Yeah. My mother and I, we were on Outlaw Road. And there used to be an old cow field where cows graze and everything and go out to pasture. And we were going home one night from my grandmother's when she lived out there. And we were on this, like, going down Potts Road, getting ready to turn onto this one place called Old Manav Highway. And I said, what the hell is all them lights? And there's like, it was like, it looked like the daytime. But it was like 9 o'clock at night. And it literally looked like, it was so bright, it looked like it was day. And I thought they were burning the field and whatever. And then my mother slowed up, and it wasn't a field burning, but it was light pulsating from the ground. And then when it stopped pulsating from the ground, it started lifting up in the air, and it looked like a triangle, like how they say the Dorito UFO. It literally looked like a triangle that was three lights with a big orb in the middle that was glowing. And it was so bright, you could see the structure of it. It was huge. Wow. And the damn thing lifted up in the air, and it obviously saw us in the car because it saw my mother slow down, and we sat there for at least 5 minutes looking at this thing take up off the ground.
I'm about and to like
it looked at
out.
Us or whatever it did, and it started to float towards us. And I was like, go, just go. And she started driving, and the damn thing was above us over the car and followed us for at least a mile to where we got where there was other lights and cars. And then boom, it was gone.
WTF.
I mean, it was just as fast and just as prominent as it was there. It was gone just as fast.
Did it come during the pandemic or was this before?
This was when I was a 16-year-old kid learning how to drive.
That's crazy.
That is no joke. That's not a dream. That is real life and everything. Like, that's for real.
That's crazy.
So you absolutely believe in paranormal activity is what you're saying?
I believe that there's paranormal activity, but I also believe that there's life beyond us that they don't want you to know about, because that would mean that the things in the Bible that they put out there aren't necessarily true. So that's another conversation that Mario and I have had about, you know, things and with what we see and what we don't truly, what we perceive and what is perceived the truth and not is the truth. Because I'm just like, you know, I look at things as, yeah, I see what the media is saying, but I also can go back and tell you what I've seen and not what I truthfully know. I mean, you don't want to tell nobody that these things have happened, but these things have happened. Like my man who was in like D.B. Sweeney, he played in the movie Fire in the Sky, which happened, I think, right up in the mountains of North Carolina here. And my man got kidnapped. They kidnapped the brother. I mean, they took him away for 3 days, and then he came back and like his blood was all screwed up because they had him in somewhere in outer space or some shit. And like they've been trying to prove that man wrong for decades. And every test, everything they ran on that man, they can't prove him wrong. So you know if they've done that and everything they've done to try to prove that he was wrong and they can't prove it, something ain't quite right. That man went somewhere or they took him somewhere that definitely won't lose his planet.
People don't want to hear that.
People don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. That's the truth, right? About what goes on in the, that's real life. That's real things that go on. Just like if you really want to hear about Hollywood, people don't want to hear, like, cancel culture. You don't want to hear the truth about Hollywood. And you would say, oh, Hollywood is so great. Yeah, Hollywood is a wonderful place if you can get in and get a good job. And you can get in as an actor, or if you can get in as a director or a writer or editor, you can get in. You got the best job in the world. But the thing is, the truth comes with having to go from gig to gig, because you might be on a movie for 3 years and then all of a sudden the movie ends and you without a job. That's the truth. You don't want to accept it, but that's the truth. And that's what I'm basically saying.
Gotcha. I had a question.
People don't want to hear it, but you have to accept it.
Yeah, I had a question that I don't know if this is even true, because it's probably why I haven't heard of it, or we haven't heard of it, but you know, like the Harvey Weinsteins, are there female Harvey Weinsteins? Like women execs?
That, I mean, like women, like, what do you mean? Like women that have done like what Harvey Weinstein did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Using power and stuff like that for the, out of their position.
I've never ran into them, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I feel like that's more of the, if anything, the closest you'll find as far as female is going to be the madams who have the young girls and then use their secrets, you know, the politicians' secrets that they get from the young girls. I feel like that's going to be the closest that you would find. I mean, I'm not saying that they probably are not out there, but I'm saying as far as we know and what has come out, I feel like the madams who have the girls and the girls go and they come back with the information and the madam uses the information, I feel like she's probably the closest to Harvey Weinstein as a female version.
Interesting.
That's like, if you ever seen, you know what, there's a movie and story for everything, but I mean, that's literally like internal spies. Like, I'm going to spy on your company, so I'm going to send this hot young female over here to, like, seduce this, like, CEO, and I want to know everything about his company, and it's the whole thing from the Bible. I'm going to send, what is it, is it Samson and Samson Delilah? Or Delilah? Is it?
I don't know. I understand the example, though, but go ahead.
Yeah.
I know, it's like they send Delilah in, and she goes in and finds out what Samson's, like, you know, weakness is, and his weakness is his hair. She cuts off his hair, and then here comes the army and they kill my man. So that's basically what that's about.
That's the bait. And since you made the second reference, I'm going to go ahead and get to it, because I mean, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I know we're speaking on the Bible and then, you know, UFOs or whatever, things of that sort and outside of, you know, our thought patterns. But I do, you know, want to just dig into it just for a second, because, you know, it's real interesting, you know, in the Bible, you know, it talks about, like, you know, Jesus walking on water and things of that nature. That, you know, basically to us, we got to swim in the water. I never seen a person walk on water unless it was like ice and it was ice skating or something like that. But outside of that, like, you know, when you speak on, you know, seeing other things, you know, how do you feel, you know, you can use both of those things to correlate to help people, you know, see that, like, you know, because that's not normal necessarily, like, you know, seeing people walk on water. But then you speak on, you know, seeing things in the sky, things following you. Like, how do you think those things parallel for other people?
I mean, it's just really it's really on in the eye of the beholder, truthfully. Because do I believe that Jesus exists? Yeah, I believe he exists. I believe that his soul still is present on this planet, just like the souls of our dead ancestors. I think they follow us at all turns. I think they try to help and lead and guide us in the right direction and keep us from harm in some shape, form, or fashion, even though we have free will. And basically, you know, and that's the funny thing. We're supposed to have free will, but God has already predetermined our path, right? So, which is, yeah, that's the whole contradiction of the Bible. Okay. You have free will, but God has already predetermined your path. So, which one is it? Has he predetermined your path and you have free will to make your choices down this path? Or is it that you truly have free will and you can choose to love him and do whatever, and go however you want to go. That's a whole nother conversation that I'm like, whoa, bro. You know, that you could have a philosophical conversation on that for hours. That this could go on for 2-3 days about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's really in your own eyes and what you truly believe to be what is right for you. And that's how I've always seen things like that. Do I believe that there are things that are unexplained to humankind or mankind or whatever you want to call it nowadays? I don't know what the politically correct word of it, but mankind, you know, is there things that we don't understand? Yeah, were we meant to understand it? Possibly, but possibly not. And are there things that go outside the realm of what we consider quote unquote normal? Yes, there is. Should we demonize people who say that they've seen it or experienced? No, but there are people there's tons of people that demonize people every day. I mean, mm-hmm. they demonize, you know, Martin Luther King for seeing, like, being able to say black people and white people can hold hands with each other and live together. Well, they crucified him because they shot him in the face and however killed him. They killed Malcolm X, but everything that they talked about and prophesized about came to pass, you know? So were they, from what they were seeing in the vision that they could see of the world turning into, were they wrong for seeing that and having that vision?
Interesting.
I mean, you know, that's the truth behind all the things. Like, I don't look at me and how I truly look at things is you might say something, but if I see what you're saying and truly can see from your perspective how you see it, but only also see it from my perspective and try to, I guess, look at it in the sense of everybody working together to create something, then it will happen. And versus I'm going to go out there and, you know, just demonize everybody, because that's literally the heart of cancel culture right there. I mean, we'll cancel, like, these Twitter kids and younger, I mean, I'm not saying all Twitter, but there are some Twitter kids and Twitter people, activists on Twitter, that will demonize you just because you said I like He-Man versus She-Ra, you know,
right, and,
you know, that kind of crazy. But both cartoons are made by the same studio. You know, both of those cartoons are made by the same studio. Made by the same studio. So how you gonna like one and not like the other?
Hey, it's easy. She-Ra wasn't that good.
It wasn't. It really was not. And then if you look at the history behind it, they only created it for product and marketing purposes. He-Man was
trying to get the girls.
Yeah, exactly. So it's no big deal, people.
Yeah, I mean, they get too wild up and too perfect example. One of the main things I wanted to really talk to you about, really get the chance to get on, is about what I'm building is a streaming service, mm-hmm. and actually I build a streaming platform. So you want to know about Netflix? I saw how Netflix was built. I know how Netflix was built. I was like, you know what? I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to get into distribution, or that's not how my life is going to take me at the time. Now my life is, and I'm like, why am I going to let my child see something that I don't necessarily would watch myself? Or I would let me and my wife would sit down and watch something that I know that her mother wouldn't sit down and watch, you know? So that is the reason why I got into wanting to build a streaming platform. And I built one in 4 years now. It's been 4 years. I built it in 4 years. I learned the code, watched the other multi-billion-dollar industry heads of Disney and HBO and or is it AT&T? It's like HD is wake up, but AT&T and Netflix, all of them just basically crucify their own selves because everybody's fighting for the same daggone subscribers. And don't you realize they're all people, if they're subscribed to you, they're subscribed to the other ones too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was just like, no, we're not, I'm not going to do that. I build it and my platform will be free. And just like you go up there, you turn it on, just like turning on television. You have commercials, sit there and watch television and go on from there. If you want a free, if you want a free commercialized version of it, when I implement that in 2023, I will, you can pay me a premium price and then go from there.
That's fire. That's so awesome.
That's basically what I did. That's the reason why I built that platform. And I am, this is the one thing that Anomaly and Real Deal, you guys don't even know about me. I'm legally blind. So Mario does. But yeah, I'm legally blind, man. I mean, wow. I'm disabled because of diabetes and everything. And like, my, I can't drive, but I'm able to still take a computer and have a large screen and build anything that you want me to build or make any video or anything like that. So that's the reason why I got into that. But as far as things go with, you know, other things in life, I truly just don't see how you can treat another person egregiously bad just because they have a different opinion than you. I remember a time when I was growing up, you could have a different opinion than your next door neighbor. And if your next door neighbor and you guys, like girl, a guy, however, y'all battled it out with wits or whatever, or if you punched each other in the face, you both punched each other in the face, knocked each other out, roll on the ground, beat each other up. And the next day y'all were the best of damn friends. Right. You can't do that no more because they're trying to shut you down and watch you like suffer in the corner in a cardboard box. And I think that's the, like, that's the most egregious thing. That's
everything is
Say that again.
Everything is personal. Like, you know, it's where every, well, I can't say everybody mindset, but a lot of people mindset is all about me, me, me. So anytime you say something, it's like, it's going to automatically be, you know, counted as going towards them versus when you just saying something, you could be just saying something to say it, you know, to, like you said, to have the dialogue and, you know, discuss something and maybe bring something about it. But it's just the fact that, you know, if I say, you know, I don't like purple, but then you got a purple bike, like, it's like, why are you talking about my bike? Like, I just said I don't like purple, like, for whatever reason, but like, mm-hmm. it's gotta, you know, geared towards them. And, you know, that's what, that's how a lot of people, well, again, not a lot, well, a good amount of people.
A good portion of
sensitive.
Yeah,
overly sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. I don't believe in that. I believe that you can, like, okay, that's the one thing I didn't really want to talk about, but I'll talk about it anyway because that's just me. I have no qualms. I'm not scared of shit. Okay, I'm let you know. I've never been scared of a damn thing. But I'll say it. Identity politics, I don't like, because at the end of the day, I'm a human, you are human. So why are you gonna hate me because I don't see the same thing that you see? And I don't like what you like. So if I'm not homosexual, don't demonize me because I'm not going into homosexual lifestyle. I'm not gonna demonize you because you're in a homosexual lifestyle. I'm gonna accept you who you are, and I'm gonna love you for a person that you are, and I'm gonna keep moving. Mm-hmm. If you're transgender, you're transgender, I'm gonna love you for that, and I'm gonna keep moving. Mm-hmm. But don't demonize me because I'm not transgender. You know, that's basically like that bull crap. And I really truly don't want my children growing up seeing that, because then they're gonna get, like, you know, insecure about, like, well, should I be this way because this person hates me because I'm not, like, no, that's bull crap. Everybody should be allowed to be whoever they want to be and move forward and live together in peace versus, you know, the online daggone news sites talking them down, or someone on Twitter, activists, like, that doesn't know nothing about them but gonna demonize them because they didn't go along with what their bio said. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you think that's possible?
Do I think that's possible to go back to a time like that?
So you do think that, well, there was a time, you know, where people did think like that and move like that, you feel?
I feel, at, well, let's put it like this. I guess in that sense, I think there was a time, but I think we've moved past that time so far that we can't go back to that time. We have to move forward. So instead of going back, don't go back, but move forward with the knowledge that we were here at this one time and this is how we treated each other. So we're never gonna treat each other like this again and we're gonna move forward. I guess that's what I'm trying to say in a sense. I'm gonna, trying to remember what they said. Walt Disney had his foot in the past, but his other foot and his mind in the future, right? Mm-hmm. So in the sense of it, I'm gonna have one foot in the past, but my other part of my body, my mind and my other foot in the future to say, you know what? I remember what happened and I remember what was, but I'm gonna take what I learned and apply it to my future and make sure that we don't ever relive the gruesomeness and horribleness of what, you know, what happened in the past. And that's one of the things that's going on with, like, schools. I mean, schools are doing that, man. I mean, they're not teaching history the way it should be. I mean, my son was in, he's now in the fifth grade, and like last year he was just learning about Abraham Lincoln. And I was like, I learned about Abraham Lincoln when I was in like first and second grade, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's trying to erase history, you know?
Oh, they could tell it like it really happened. Just
right.
Saying.
Oh yeah, exactly. Don't bullcrap anything. Tell it for what it really is and what really happened, and then let the young minds choose where they're going to go and how they're not going to proceed in the future. Because that's literally what you're going to do. You erase history, you're going to be doomed to repeat.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Do you sometimes feel like the more powerful you get, the more attempts will be made on your life? Like, do you ever feel like, yo, like, there's some people out here that really don't want me to create this platform or create this network and this streaming service and things of that nature? You ever feel like there's the competition is so fierce that you would have to think to watch out for things like that? Or has anyone ever made an attempt on your life in the past?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes to both. Yes to both. And I'll get into that. Yes, I believe that it's going to get to a point where they're going to look at this young black male who's never committed a crime before, who's never went to jail or anything except for having a minor traffic ticket or something. Like, he's legally blind. Where the hell did he come from? And it's either going to be one or two things. We're going to buy him out. We're going to give him so much money that he can't say nothing but yes and try to buy me out. Or two, send someone that's so close to me to try to, like, get at me to give up everything and then I lose everything. Or three, which I don't believe in not saying three, because they always, if in that kind of situation, there's always a plan A, plan B, and a plan Z. Okay, you know, it's going to get to the point where, well, if we can't get those things to work, well, why the hell can't we get rid of them? And yeah, there's going to be a situation where I believe one day there's going to be a situation where they're going to be like, well, get rid of him, you know, just get rid of him. And I mean, look at what they did to Nipsey. I mean, they got rid of the brother, and I don't even understand why they got rid, but it was. The sad part about it, it was a brother that he helped. Mm. You know, and then, you know, those things happen. It's just, it's really sad. And as far as having my, like, life threatened before, yeah, my life has been threatened before. I was a council member. And you would think, because you're a political figure, you would have never had threats or shots at you, taken at you. I mean, I had this one guy drive up, and like, as I was walking down the street, drive up, jump out his truck. And it was a brother of nonetheless.
Mm.
Jump out his truck, get in my face, ask me if I was Councilmember Stevens. I'm like, yeah, I was, man. I mean, what's the deal? He didn't even hear me. He was going off so bad, he didn't even hear me when I said, yeah, how can I help you? He just like, who are you? And I'm like, bro, calm down. He goes in his shorts and pulls out a hand cannon. I mean, I ain't talking about a 9mm Beretta. I'm talking about a Desert Eagle .50, okay?
God.
To my face and say, look, I want to know, are you Councilman Stevens? And I want to know where you, I mean, like, I'm like, whoa. I mean, is that egregious? I've done something. What, I'm like, what have I done to you? I'm like, in my brain, like, what have I done to this man so egregious that he wants to take my life?
What'd he say?
And he didn't say nothing. I just looked at him. I was like, bro, if you really want to know what's going on, go up there to them steps that you're trying to take me where I'm going, stop me from where I'm going, and go in that building and talk to them. Because what you're asking me is not the answer that you want. And when I said that, the brother put his gun back in his shorts and then got in his truck and drove off.
Mm.
And I'm like, you're a brother. First of all, you're a black man. Why would you pull, I mean, regardless of being black or white, why would another man pull a gun to take another man's life if they've never done nothing to you, physically to you or your family? And then it goes on an even deeper level. Like I said, why would another black man kill another black man for no nothing but because of a vote that was taken that I truly don't have control over? I might put my hand up and stuff, but guess what? I don't have full control. It's the majority rules. And if I'm not part of the majority, guess what? It goes the opposite way. So regardless of what happens, whether you vote with black or vote with white or vote with Democrat or vote with Republican, it's at the end of the day, the majority rules. So it doesn't matter if I win or lose, it's going to be what they want it to be. So you can't you can't kill a person just because of that. That's like ignorance in itself. And I think that's right. That's in itself was like, wow, another black man could take another black man's life for something that they don't even truly understand. That's the most ignorant thing I've ever seen out of our people. And I don't understand that.
What you think about that, Real?
I mean, my only question to that would be is, you know, how do you feel that, you know, we could help them understand it in a better way so that they don't, you know, come to those type of situations?
I'm going to say, I truthfully will say it to what I know some of your listeners, I'm not saying all your listeners, but I'll tell to some of your listeners on this level. I know some of you guys listen to hip hop and I know you listen to rap and everything, but listen to what T.I. is really saying in the Libra. How can I talk to a maniac? What's the sense of me talking to a maniac? What does that make me? I can't talk sense to a maniac if he don't want to listen. But if he's willing to listen, then he's a decent man and I'm truly can get to him and get him to understand how we feel when you put the knees on a black man's neck and take another man's life. All those people there holding down George Floyd, whether black before Black Lives Matter was even a big thing, you watching this, all these people, both black and white, watching this man being held down by four police officers. There's 30 damn people out there. If there's 30 people and four police officers, they ain't got enough guns to take you all down. Point blank, you seeing this cop doing this egregious thing to this man, like, and he's saying, he's screaming out, I can't breathe, I'm going to war. Like, dude, you either get off of him or we gonna go to war and you gonna take me down with it. I'm not gonna, and that's for anybody, black or white or Hispanic or Asian. I will feel that way about any human being. If you're trying to physically kill another human being for bullshit, you best believe there's war getting ready to go down if you're in this country.
But people want to say they saw it and I was there and I was there, I witnessed it. People don't want to be a part of it. And that's what you have to step back and understand. Because all those people there, yeah, they could have done something about it, but they don't. You have to remember that people just want to witness. They don't want to be a part of it.
And that's, and that's, and that in itself, that's, if you, okay, I put it like this. If you truly say you're an American and you are a patriot, then that's sacrilegious to what you're saying that you are. That's blasphemy for what you're saying that truly. That's blasphemy for what you're saying that you are. I'm an American. I believe in being patriotic. I'll bleed on the flag to keep it red. Bull crap. If you won't stop something like that, then you're not an American. If you see a woman getting raped, and this is for young black men, young white men too, young Hispanic men, it's for all men, young men together. If you're seeing if you're at a party and you know that this young girl getting raped in the next room because you hear her screaming out and you don't go in there to try to stop it, or you don't go in there to try to stop it because you can't, you're a little small little dude, you know, but you don't call the police because you know this is going on, then something's wrong with you.
Mm.
Wow, that's deep.
I mean, I can get on certain. I mean, I seriously can take you guys on levels that like stretch the mind. Like, whoa, this dude. Because I don't believe. I mean, my mind is very to the point where I can have philosophical like conversations with the president of the United States, whether it be Obama, Biden, or Trump, or however you want to play it, put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you ain't gonna sit there and tell me that, you know, Proud Boys stand back, stand firm. I'm like, bro, but you supposed to be the president of the United States, but you telling white supremacists stand back, stand firm. So are you for the United States? Are you for anarchy? You know? Right. I'm not gonna hate him, but I'm gonna say, you know, bro, what are you really standing for?
Right.
I mean, and for Biden, I don't know what Biden's going to do. I mean, I see what he's doing, but I'm like, bro, I want you to seriously come with it. I mean, I want you to do exactly what you say you want to do. I'm like, you say you're going to get people $15, get those people $15. These teachers that are making $12 an hour that basically don't have insurance, instructional assistant and working towards her bachelor's degree for education of pre-K kids and all the way up to third grade. I want you to take these teachers and get them more money so that they can get their education and be able to actually teach these kids what it's worth and what it is to be a good human being. That's what I want him to do. And as far as Obama, man, we can go back and me and him could have conversations all day and be like, bro, you were the first African-American president. Like, you did everything you could, because I know what it's like to stand in them shoes. You only do so much. And when you do everything you can, they won't let you do no more. And I'm just like, how did you deal with it? That would be my conversation with them. I'd be like, how did you deal with it on a daily basis?
Right, right, right. But
That's the situation.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. We're gonna have to have you come back, man, for the part two, bro. Because unfortunately, we are out of time.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Before I go, I want to mention some people that, they're some of the greatest people in the world. Mr. Scott.
Thanks,
and Sherry, Rod, they're doing their thing with ATV Motors, small businesses out of here in Wayne County. Please go check them out on Facebook. Scott Rods, ATV Voters. Go check out, if you need a good lawyer, Ron Lawrence and his law offices, Edward Womble and Lawrence. And if you need an entertainment lawyer, because I know that you guys are wanting to know about entertainment, you want to go talk to this man, Thomas Varnum, out of Wilmington, North Carolina. I don't care where you're at in the United States, call Thomas Varnum. He's the best in the business, and give him a call.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
All right. Any last, I mean, that was your last words, but any last words?
That's my last words right there. That's
any
my
last
words,
right real deal.
Yeah, I mean, appreciate you for coming through. You know, definitely got to have you back, you know, because you got into some deep things that, you know, definitely need to be unpacked. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, man, Wave Nation, you already know, real people, real conversations. Let's do it.
Right there.
An anomaly.
Yeah, there is so much more to unpack, as Real Deal said. And I just want you to make sure that the next time that you get invited to one of these locations, that you are playing safe.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I understand exactly what you're saying.
There you have it, folks.